Welcome to Manager Tools. The Manager Tools Data Feedback, Part 2. This cast answers these questions. What are the data Manager Tools has gathered about delivering feedback? How have you gathered data about how to deliver feedback? How did you develop the Manager Tools feedback model? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, now that more and more of us are getting vaccinated in the spring of 2021, the year after the year that shall not be named with a number, because we'll always keep it in hindsight, more and more folks are talking to us about on-site or in-person training. Of course, that will probably go more slowly than we all think, but if you are a client manager or a client executive or a client HR executive, and you're wondering about us coming on site, we are doing that now. Obviously, it depends on the company, depends on the location, depends on the situation. But we suspect that Q3 and Q4 of this year will be incredibly busy. And as most of you know who have worked with us before, we work on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you're thinking about doing some in-person training later on in the year, please do let us know. Reach out to Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at manager-tools.com, and she'll tell you what kind of slots we have left. Hope to see you. Before Manager Tools existed, guys, at my previous company, Horseman & Company, we built tools to address the core managerial behaviors that led to results from retention. We consulted to clients, we trained managers, we created and iterated on these models, and we'll talk about the feedback model here in a bit. We gather data about our managerial behavior on the effects on results and retention. We tested different models and different techniques and gathered reams and reams and reams of data. I was very lucky to have spent some time at Procter & Gamble because one of the things Procter was famous for was, we don't care what your opinion is. We want to see your data. Right? You want to roll out a new product? Sorry, you got to have data. And it's funny, that was, 35 years ago, Mike, and almost nobody was talking about data back then. It's one of the reasons why Procter was so good for so long.
Yeah, it made them different. Very successful.
Yeah. So over the last 30 years, we've gathered data on the behaviors and outcomes of over 600,000 managers in multiple studies and surveys. And by the way, I really should not even include the word surveys in there, because when we say studies, we mean measuring managers doing their job and paying attention to the effect on results and retention. We don't mean sending out surveys. We don't mean hiring college kids to do an experiment that is similar to something that might happen in a potentially parallel universe as somebody actually managing in a real organization. Those managers that we were testing by giving them behaviors to engage in and then paying attention to the outputs, it was statistically significant. We kept the studies much larger than probably we should have in virtually every major industrial classification we're aware of. They worked on every continent in the world except Antarctica. Okay. So just to be clear, There's no difference in managers anywhere, according to the data. What you have been led to believe about culture and geography is wrong. You may say, well, managers do things differently in India and Japan than in the United States. Yeah, maybe they do a little bit, but it doesn't make a difference against results and retention. We've measured and tested managers from heavy industry, supervising hourly workers, with spans of control up to 50, to high-tech managers managing, individual contributors who are fellows with PhDs. We've conducted studies on CEOs and every other level of executive. We've measured and followed tens of thousands of managers in academia, the government, and nonprofits. Hospitals, charities, religious organizations, medical practices, retail firms like grocery stores and mall-based clothing chains. We've measured over 250,000 managers in the Fortune 500 alone. Airlines, chip-making fabs, software firms, agricultural firms, chemical firms, family farm cooperatives, Wall Street financial firms, banks, federal, state, local governments, cruise ship companies, every major cabinet division at the federal level of the United States, police departments, fire departments, video game developers, every branch of the U.S. Armed Forces, even the Navy.
Oh, my God.
Construction materials. Yeah. We definitely included the Marines because I don't think of them as part of the Navy, but, you know. Construction materials firms, home builders, business associations. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce was part of a survey once. They didn't like it, by the way. Individual dentist's office, huge merchant banks, the Exim Bank, for that matter. Five foreign governments, both supporting operations of elected officials, the actual ones that were elected, and multiple governmental executive branch divisions. Governmental foreign services, the United Nations, major sports leagues.
I wish you'd been broader in the
yeah.
types of industries. And
well, you know how we chose?
How?
We didn't choose. Okay. I didn't choose. Those were our clients. I wasn't searching for breadth. I wasn't saying I must have people in virtually everything. I just, every time we got a client, we had different clients in different places. And now look, we had a lot more clients in some fields, but we didn't keep studying only in one field because I know people would say, oh, well, that's what works in consumer products, but that doesn't work in major industry.
Wait, but the principles of management are different in every single industry, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that all the time. Let me tell you, I should have no friends because people come up to me and say, you know, I listen to one of your podcasts. It says this, and everybody knows that's not true. So, I don't know who you're hanging out with, dude, but you don't know what you're talking about, right? I mean, you know, it's like, I feel like, say, tell your story walking, buddy. You've got your opinion, and it's fine to have an opinion. That's good. Opinions are good. Isn't it great to be a free person? I'll tell you what, there are places in the world right now. You can't express your opinion freely. You worry about what the government's going to do to you if you express your opinion freely. So first of all, be thankful for your freedom. But you can have an opinion, and I have a mountain of data.
Right.
And my data wins.
There you
go. It just wins. Yeah. Now look, we've tried very hard to maintain reasonable standards of measurement to justify confidence in the kind of study results we got. Look, double-blind studies are virtually impossible. You can't do a double-blind when you're talking about managerial behavior. We created control groups, though. So we would have one manager group doing a version of a one-on-one and another manager group that did similar things to them that we told you can't do one-on-ones. And we met them every week and checked to make sure that they didn't do one-on-ones. And we checked with their directs that they weren't tricking us and sneaking in one-on-ones. We have shut down tests. Because of the breakdown of cohort integrity. Absolutely. We do it. Something else, too, that in hindsight, I kind of regret because I think it was, not gilding the lily exactly, but it was just too much and nobody really appreciated it. We run tests for exceptionally long periods, 2.5 years, to avoid chances that economic factors were skewing our before and after results. Here's something else that might be interesting here in 2021. We've tested cohorts for gender, ethnic, educational, and professional experience, randomness, or similarity. We've employed hundreds of statisticians, surveyors, interviewers to follow up on managers and professional behaviors during tests. In some cases, they had pretty good knowledge of business practices, but in many cases, we actually determined it was better that the statisticians didn't have any ability to really make qualitative assessments beyond the data gathering that they did. Now, the internet, smartphones, and stuff like that changed our ability to measure stuff. But a lot of that happened after we gathered the vast majority of our data. Now, look, as I said, we've tested, we've studied, you know, asked them to engage in behaviors and then paid attention to their results and retention and their trust scores. Trust scores are so easy to measure. You ask a manager's directs on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you trust your boss? And what's funny about this, Mike, I'll just tell you a story. Somebody said, yeah, I tried that. I said, oh, good. How did it go? He says, well, I got a number. He says, I asked them to grade me on a scale of 1 to 7. I said, why 1 to 7? He says, I don't know. Like, seriously? That's what you think of as measurement? Just pick a number? And he said, yeah, you know, I got a 4.5. I said, how many directs do you have? He says, I got 10. I said, okay. He's like, but what does it mean? I said, how would I know? You chose the 1-7. Where did you get that scale? By the way, 1-7 scales are bad. They're not bad. But if they had a billion more data points run through them and you had some sense of their robustness, that would be helpful. But you know, he didn't know. I said, dude, you're missing the point. You're supposed to measure trust regularly and see whether or not what you're doing is causing trust to grow or trust to fall. And you have to realize that you're only part of the trust score. I'm asking them whether or not they trust you, but everybody above you, they see everybody above you through you. So when you have to announce something they don't like because you're doing your job as a professional, that affects your trust score. You don't do a snap trust score, oh, I have 4.5, and say, well, that's good. You have no relevance for that data. Said, no, you should. I actually told him, I said, you know, measure it every 3 months and, you know, call me in a year and tell me what your number is doing and use a 1-10 scale. And I could tell you more about that. So we've surveyed hundreds of thousands of managers over the same period. We wanted to understand what they thought and what they wanted and what they knew, what their skills were and so on. And often before and after surveys of what manager before we studied them and after gave us clues into their mindsets and their behavior patterns and so on. In virtually every single study we ran, measurement, case study, and surveys were part of professional engagements. I said this earlier, but I'll say it again more specifically, to improve managerial and organizational performance. In many cases, the surveys, not the study, but the surveys were designed to provide lessons learned to clients and to help them determine whether or not to expand the engagement more broadly in the organization. There are probably some people who are starting their careers now that are going to work at a company where we did a study years ago and the organization learned that one-on-ones were really important or feedback was really important. It might have been an early version of one-on-ones or an early version of feedback. And that organization then adopted one-on-ones and started having people do one-on-ones. This is one of the reasons why, guys. A lot of people say, yeah, a lot of managers I know do one-on-ones because there are remnants of all that study and large organizations mandating them. And then new executives come in and it's not as big a deal. And then people get promoted and they don't know that one-on-ones were expected or studied. And suddenly it stops getting done. And that's, you know, I hear stories about that. Oh yeah, I worked at a company. It used to be all my managers did one-on-ones. I didn't really understand why. I was like, yeah, they were a client of ours 19 years ago. Folks, if you're thinking about attending a virtual conference, but maybe our schedule for March or April or May isn't quite good for you, we have now filled in the schedule for the rest of the year. So you're welcome to sign up for conferences that happen in September, October, November, even December. And you can come to our website and there's a calendar. And if you click on any of the bands that show VEMCs or VECCs, so on, you just click on them and it'll tell you the detailed dates, what dates we're actually holding those virtual events. Virtual has become very popular and we're happy to provide it. So come see us at a virtual conference. Thanks. Now look, by no means are we sharing all the data we ever collected. First of all, we can't, there's too much. And some of it's been lost. Some results we've lost, but it's technically possible that an individual at some of our clients kept copies of raw studies or conclusions. And so as we talk about the feedback data, we're going to do our best to outline the relevant study parameters that we used. Look, in some cases, the data was lost. By the way, this was work for hire. We weren't conducting a scientific experiment, guys. This was not an experiment, okay? The data aren't mine. They're the clients, okay? And this was designed to help a company. It wasn't designed to study rats in a cage or monkeys in a cage. That's not what this is. And there are some managers out there that seem to think that, no, I want to review all the tables and everything else. Well, there are names in the tables. There are quotes from people. We can't share that with you. It would be unethical. In fact, you'll hear as we go through this, we get in situations where we can't continue to try to teach something because it's unethical, because the first two times we tried to teach it, it destroyed results and retention value. So we can't keep doing that. Well, I'd really like to know whether or not that would have worked if you did something different. That's not how you do things. That's wrong. It's morally offensive.
Yeah. You don't experiment that way with clients.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have clients very long if you keep that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
This thing didn't really work before, but let's try it across your
Let's keep trying it. Let's keep trying it. Let's take another group of managers and screw them.
Yeah, exactly.
On purpose. We know it's going to happen, but hopefully it'll be less than last time.
It will be better than last time.
Yeah. Yeah, the world is not a big fat experiment. It's not. It's real people trying to do real good in the real world. So, look, we've attempted to summarize the data that relate to our work today. Some of our measurement addressed internal client interests, which have no relevance elsewhere, and we weren't at liberty to share what they were measuring, and so that's not included. In some places, we use client metrics, and some companies have unusual metrics about based on their results and retention, and that doesn't travel well, so we don't share that. But with the results we have maintained, we do our best here and in the future to share with you guys what's relevant. Again, the results obtained are technically confidential work product. In almost no cases were there assumptions that aggregated data across hundreds of studies and surveys would lead to broader publication about generalized managerial or professional behaviors. We just told our clients, we should measure this. Because if you get the result you want, you'll have proof and you'll be able to motivate more of your managers to do it. In a number of cases, we did get to own the data results, but we weren't allowed specific attribution. In other words, this came from Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson or whatever. Clients basically remained anonymous. In most cases, though, guys, clients owned the specific data. And they often said, yeah, you can use this generically outside of us. But in some cases, we sign non-disclosure agreements. There are some companies, that's just their zeitgeist. They don't, no, you're going to do work for us and we're paying you. And no, this data will never see the light of day. And I might recall some of that data and I might mention that data, but I wouldn't have reams and reams and reams of underlying data. And look, we're sharing this data now. Mike and I weren't partners when I gathered all this data. We share this data now, having reduced my risk in sharing it to marginally zero. And we do it in the interest of improving management worldwide. Mike and I agree this is an important step in our mission of making every manager effective and every professional productive. Now, one other thing that I'm going to mention here that I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to because it's our podcast and Mike and I see things the same way. It's about the use of data in creating your managerial approach. We've heard from plenty of managers over the years that we haven't shared enough data with them for them to change their approach. At the same time, folks, I'll just tell you, I think it's funny that we've published more data about managing in the real world than anyone else, about real management behaviors. And whatever model or technique those managers who ask me for more data are using, they don't have any data to support what they're doing now.
That's right.
And they're telling me, after we've shared data of about hundreds of thousands of managers, no, that's not enough data. I'm sorry, that's not a supportable position. It's just not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay, so that, Mike, I'm sorry, that was really long. But that's the Trinity overview.
Yeah, good. I think it's useful to understand all that before we get into
one
of 15 behaviors. Like
why this number one?
Why? I mean,
yeah.
There's 15 of them. Like,
yeah.
I mean, another great thing about that is we probably have 100 hours worth of podcasts to record on all 15. Although you probably don't want to listen to 4 hours on a podcast for stuff that's going to change your performance by 1% or 2%.
Yes, 2%. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not go for the 10%ers and the 20%ers and the 30%ers and the 40%ers?
There you go. And we're going to do that.
We are.
Okay, dude, let's stop there and we will continue next week and get into the feedback model data.
Exactly.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, partner.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great one. So long.